editing from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The people were full of anticipation, wondering in their hearts whether John might be the Messiah. Jesus answered them all by saying, "I am baptizing you in water, but there is one to come who is mightier than I. I am not fit to loosen his sandal strap. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire." When all the people were baptized and Jesus was at prayer, after likewise being baptized, the skies opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in visible form like a dove. A voice from heaven was heard to say, "You are my beloved Son, on you my favor rests." The Gospel of the Lord.
Dicta.
Dele ante nostra delicta. For us in the West, modern times, Feast of the Baptism of the Lord is a continuation of the Feast of Epiphany. And so in a certain sense, we relate the baptism of our Lord to the coming of the Magi, because that is the point that is stressed in the Western liturgy for the solemnity of the Epiphany. But in its origins, the Feast of the Epiphany was primarily associated with the baptism of the Lord, his public introduction by no one less than the Heavenly Father. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Before the ancients, whether in the eastern or the western part of the church, the differentiation of different events in our Lord's life as the particular point to be celebrated in the Feast of the Epiphany, whether it be the coming of the Magi, whether it be his birth, whether it be his baptism, were of less importance than the continuity between all of these events. We tend to abstract what's called by the philosophers the second degree of abstraction. This event all by itself in isolation from all of the others. And if we are to grasp the mystery that is involved here, we have to strive to see what is or what are the points of continuity between all of these different events. The first thing to consider is what the word epiphany means in Greek: appearance. That which becomes visible, and all of a sudden we remember, how did God become visible? Why, the same way each of us becomes visible, by being born. In the sense that we are part of a community where we are visible, where others can perceive us, where we can enter into various relations, one kind or another, birth is the essential point of departure. As a person, I become visible to you first when I am born. Then there are many other appearances. As you get to know me a little bit better, perhaps you revise your first judgments. We leave all of those things aside for the moment and simply make the key point. How did God, who is completely, totally invisible, naturally speaking, what St. John tells us in his Gospel, what St. Paul tells us in his letters, no man can see God. No man has ever seen God naturally. And yet we hope for the beatific vision, that one day we shall see God, as St. John says, and then we shall be like him, be as he is in glory. God became visible by being born of a woman, the Virgin Mary. And we see that in each of the subsequent events associated with the Feast of the Epiphany, appearance of God, the revelation of God, is always involved. At his baptism, our Lord was publicly revealed as the Savior. The Father testified, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." We see the connection with the Magi who followed the star until it came over the place where the mother and the child were, and they adored and offered their gifts. If we are to give our Lord worthy praise, we too must also listen to him. "If you love me," said our Lord just before Holy Week, "if you love me, keep my commandments." He said it also on the night before he died to the apostles, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And what did Our Lady say when she introduced him to the public at Cana, which was apparently only a private affair, not one of the solemn events in the life of a king, became the moment to reveal his glory? He worked that stupendous miracle, changing water into wine, and in great quantity, to reveal his glory. And what did his mother say to the servants? And we are all servants of the Lord. "Do whatever he tells you." And in parentheses, "and you will see the glory and the joy of the Lord." And finally, there's a further reference here, our Lord's full revelation, manifestation in the resurrection. Again, an appearance. But he had consummated his work once again. He doesn't simply disappear. He comes back after 3 days so that we might have the hope that when we too are fully in glory, we shall see him as he is. So there is the first common element, appearance, ever more completely, ever more gloriously. Second point is water. Baptism makes no sense unless you're washed. And the ancients, in order to practice the baptism, used to dunk both adults and baby. Immersion, it is called. And which in many parts of the Western world until some centuries ago was also just as widespread as it still is in the eastern part of Christendom. But we forget very often that when our Lord entered the Immaculate Womb of Our Lady, when he became incarnate, when she said, "Be it done to me according to thy word," he also entered the waters. This is a point made by the ancient Syrian fathers. Waters at his baptism in the Jordan. Water came forth from his pierced side, blood and water, in which we are washed clean. Blood by which we are saved, our sins are forgiven. And so we see in each of the appearances of our Lord, water that is at once the sign of the Holy Spirit, the sign of the Most Pure Mother. How did he become incarnate? By the power of the Holy Spirit. How was his glory made evident at his baptism? The dove, symbolizing the Holy Spirit, came down upon him. And so, too, he is glorified in the Church by the giving of the Holy Spirit. All of these things we may thus summarize by saying that here we have the great mystery in the coming of our Lord. In his appearance, what do we come to know? His glory. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. And what is that glory? St. Gregory Nazianzus tells us, and so do so many of the others, say, our salvation. How often we identify our salvation, our blessedness, with all of these wonderful things God has made. Unfortunately, sometimes we identify salvation with things which are downright sinful. But none of these things our salvation. None of these things are blessedness. Our blessedness is the glory of the Lord. And what is the glory of the Lord? The Word made flesh in the womb of Our Lady. What is the glory of the Lord? That glory that was manifested in His baptism. I have a baptism, said our Lord, with which I must be baptized, and I am constrained until it be accomplished. His baptism on the cross. And so we understand. And our introduction to the earth, we too, being baptized, in sharing our Lord's baptism, in being perfectly conformed to our crucified Savior, we too come to share His glory. And what the Father sees in Him, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, He will also come to see in us. Let us, like the Magi who followed the star, follow that faith that we have received, that light, which will guide us one day into heaven. And if we ask Our Lady, who in each of these events is one involved in one way or another, if we ask her to guide us and to help us, we too will come to know that salvation, know that joy, that blessedness, that He is the glory of the Lord. Praise be Jesus and Mary.